좋아.
Once upon a Andrew Octopus. Once upon a the molecular mixtape. Once upon a tomorrow. 4, 3, 2. Once upon a tomorrow, hallucinogenic. Clocks are inconsistent cause time is schizophrenic. The music business is completely infected by the virulent sickness of experimental physics. CDs are scanned with biometric bandwidth. MP3s are ingested or injected directly into listeners' veins. Chords crawl through the skin, beats swim in the brain. Dripping rhythms through the central nervous system. Truth is stranger than science fiction. The game has changed a lot like I predicted, but also in ways I could never explain. DJs in the club do more than mix records. They're freelance detectives blending multiple perspectives. Their lives look a lot like Rick Deckard's. They feed numbers to underground investors, struggling to keep their realities together, or sometimes separate. Recording is important because informants are desperate. They lost their jobs and will say whatever the buyer wants to hear. I keep checking MySpace and music mobs, trying to keep their stories clear. So if sources are distorted, voices had to be triple-checked and re-encrypted with tighter security. I helped eyewitnesses disappear into the cryptosphere, paid for designer surgery, remixed their double helixes and changed their faces. Now none of them look even remotely the same. Had them hide out in places where nobody had heard of me, at least not under the Andrew Octopus name. The game changed a lot like I anticipated, but also in ways that I couldn't have prepared for. FCC doesn't exist anymore. Mixtapes mutated and took over radio, left the corpses of computers all over automated studios. Now we broadcast much more than audio to reach an audience of even the most jaded omnivores. Real keys to fake locks on imaginary doors. Analog weapons for digital wars. How come the first casualties were objective truths? How the participants met to discuss a truce? There were college-age girls wearing nothing but high-heel boots, running old 8mm film loops through effects processors. They took the pictures into film projectors to aim and shoot at Microsoft troops caught unaware in the Unix sector. They wanted no way they could have planned it any better. Blew 1,000 men into 1,000,000 pieces, and also unwittingly proved my thesis. Right now, this is a battle nobody can win. But who knows when the game might change again. Mental illness as a technology and vice versa. I'm your host, Andrew Octopus. Mental illness as a technology is distributed via www.radioforall.net. And this week we are proud to announce the addition of a new internet radio network which will be carrying the program, Real Public Radio, www.rprn.org. The show so far really hasn't gotten on the consistent distribution schedule that I had originally anticipated. That's partially because we're trying to disrupt the algorithms of intelligence agencies which are looking for the program every so often. And also because I have simply been so busy with various live shows, journalism assignments,
and working on a new recording project which I'm happy to announce at this moment. It's called the Molecular Mixtape, and it's available on an experimental cassette-only
label based in the United Kingdom called BT Recordings.
That's B as in Bush, B as in baseball, T as in teacup, or Tetragram. BT Recordings, based in London, England, will be releasing a new compilation of material put together by me, and that's what I've been working on a lot lately. Speaking of mixtapes, a new recently
brought back from the dead
because originally the intellectual property omnibus.
Speaking of mixtapes, a new law recently brought back from the dead because
originally the intellectual property omnibus bill, which was considered by the Senate last year,
would have
instituted a lot of these draconian anti-piracy measures, but it was passed after most of them had been taken out due to public outcry. But of course, as the United States Senate is wont to do, they are back in the game of trying to pass the same measures. This is according to Extreme Tech, an April 20th, 2005 article by Mark Catchman.
Pre-release pirates could receive jail time. A new bill that would imprison pre-release file pirates for up to 3 years is just a few procedural steps away from becoming law. The bill, known as the Family Entertainment and Copyright Act of 2005, which includes the Artists' Rights and Theft Prevention Act of 2005, or the ART Act, was crafted to sentence distributors of pre-release copies of films, songs, or others' works for up to 3 years. The bill would also permit companies like Clearplay to edit films for language and content. The bill, which is awaiting signature from President Bush,
would assign the same penalties to users who trade pre-release works as others who violate copyright law. Under Section 506A of Title 17 of the U.S. Code, individuals who, quote, during any 180-day period, trade one or more copies of or phono records of one or more copyrighted works, which have a total retail value of more than $1,000, may be imprisoned for up to 3 years or 6 years or a second offense. The acronym is FECA. FECA.
That's pretty ironic. FECA is designed to go after users who camcord a movie in a movie theater, bringing in a digital movie camera, recording the film, and distributing the movie to others via physical DVDs and peer-to-peer networks. In addition, the bill would prevent an employee at a music studio or other pirate from releasing the track to the internet before the song is released. It would also make, this is my commentary, it would also make most mixtape DJs potential felons.
The bill would grant theater
owners the right to hold a patron suspected of infringement until the police arrive.
The theater
owner would be granted immunity from civil or criminal action
arising
from the detention. So in addition to making most mixtape DJs potential felons, we also have a situation where theater owners have now been invested with some law enforcement powers. I don't know about you, but most theater owners I know are not exactly the kind of people I want capable of detaining people after the movie for any reason. Although the bill is expected to be signed into law, FECA, I can't get over that name. It's like when they called the mental health
program New Freedom. It's like feces or fecal matter.
FECA. It was both welcomed and criticized by anti-piracy advocates. In comments attached to the House commentary on the bill, Representative Howard Berman, a Democrat from California, called the bill a disappointment, noting it did little to address the issue of piracy and peer-to-peer file trading. However, he noted the bill would address the goal of removing the file trader's gold of pre-release movies, which allow pirates to view a movie at the same time it is showing in the theaters. Another lie by Representative Berman. The bill would also advance the process of the U.S. Register of Copyrights to establish the copyright earlier in the work's process. Today, the copyright is usually established only after the work is distributed, technically allowing the pre-release work to be legally distributed via the file-sharing networks. So until this bill passes, you are free to file-share any pre-release movies or music. Under the terms of the bill, the only exemption to the penalties described in the bill is if a copyright holder fails to notify the U.S. Copyright Office of the copyright within 3 months of the first publication of the work. And it goes on to say that The bill does not impose any time limits on when lawsuits could be filed. So, for instance, if you had a, quote, pre-release, end quote, version of something that was being bootlegged now, even if the song was from 15 or 20 years ago, the artist could still theoretically sue. And given the nature of the RIAA and their Imperial Stormtroops, they probably will sue. Finally, the bill would also allow a film to be modified by a device or service to modify its content. For example, in the case of sexual, violent, or other objectionable content. Provided that the user be notified through a clear and conspicuous notice that the film had been so modified, the device or service manufacturer would be exempted from copyright infringement. The bill does not specifically make mention of what types of content could be, quote, made transparent, end quote, in the language of the bill, and said it would be up to the courts, up to the courts to decide how much of the content would be removed without harming the artistic integrity of the film. FICA also does not address devices that would allow ads to be skipped or removed. So, I'm thinking that Chopped and Screwed DJs in Houston should be okay as long as they tell people that they are screwing the records that they're copying. They should be free from any accusation of copyright violation because they're a device or service manufacturer is exempted from copyright infringement as long as it makes clear that the content has been modified.
However, FICA would prevent a service from distributing a, quote, fixed version of a film with modified content, such as films distributed by Clean Flicks. Six members, including Berman and Conyers, objected to the provision of the bill, noting that a U.S. copyright registrar testified to Congress, noting that the right to edit a film to remove objectionable content
intrinsically creates a fixed version of the film. That's Extreme Tech, an article off Extreme Tech by Mark Hackman from April 20th, 2005. You know, I think it's great that all these new stringent copyright laws have been put into place, because my army of time-traveling soldiers is planning to go back in time and make Charlie Parker a very, very rich man. You know, I think it's great that all these new stringent copyright laws have been put into place, because my army of time-traveling soldiers is planning to go back in time and make Charlie Parker a very, very rich man. And I'm sure that you can imagine how history will be changed by him getting paid off all the works that were essentially stolen from him by record companies. You're listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa. I'm your host, Andrew Octopus.
Another story that is interesting to me, considering I'm a 100% radio junkie. Infinity plans to broadcast to mobile phones, by Chris Marlowe. Wasn't he a character from Heart of Darkness? Los Angeles, Hollywood Reporter. Nokia's Visual Radio, which merges traditional FM radio with mobile phone interactivity, is set to go live in the United States under a deal with Infinity Broadcasting, disclosed Monday at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas. The announcement was made with Nokia's technology partner, Hewlett-Packard. The partners are determining which of Infinity's 185 radio stations will be the first in the country to offer the service to their listeners. Mobile phones with the capability to receive visual radio will be available in the U.S. within 6 months, according to Radar Arsemius, Nokia's manager of visual radio. It adds another dimension to
FM radio, said David Goodman, an Affinity president of marketing. I love the idea of everyone walking around with a portable radio that happens to make phone calls and show great pictures. Consumers receive the standard FM radio broadcast on their mobile phone. Simultaneously, visual radio sends whatever information and graphics the station wishes to the listener's screen, delivered via the cellular network. The result
is increased listener time, brand loyalty, and additional revenue streams for the station, Goodman said. So, airwave pirates, you have a new technology to crack open. You know, the mainstream and the underground really need each other. I'm a firm believer in that.
If you look at what the subversive or fringe elements of the world are doing, a lot of it couldn't be sustained.
But then if you look at what the corporations are doing, it just
tends to lead us into these gridlocked clone empires. And so I think the mainstream
and the underground need each other. And that's why I'm not so much a revolutionary as a dreamer. Two Brits, nabbed with $3 trillion in fake U.S. Fed notes. This is from ABS-CBNNews.com, which is an internet presence of the Manila Times.
From the Manila, the Philippines.
The National Bureau of Investigation, which is again a Filipino intelligence organization, on Thursday said it has arrested two British nationals with $3 trillion in fake U.S. federal banknotes in their possession.
NBI Director Reynaldo Waikoko identified the suspects as Paul Edward, John Flavel, and Sam Beeney. That's three people. And yet it says the two listed their address as Unit 305 CEO Apartments in Jupiter Street, Makati City. The suspects were not physically present during the press conference called by Waikoko at the NBI office in Taft Avenue, Manila. Only the suspects'
photographs were shown to reporters. Waikoko said NBI agents have also launched a manhunt for
two other British nationals involved in the syndicate.
The two other suspects are Seki Mehmet Biram
and Peter Whitcamp.
Flavel and Beeney's arrest came following a tip from international cargo forwarder DHL Philippines on April 14th, Waikoko said. The tip was about a shipment consigned to two foreigners, which was pending at the company warehouse. The forwarder said the cargo was bound for Zurich, Switzerland. The NBI dispatched a team to the DHL office. The agents were able to
chance upon the subjects as they were paying the airway bill amounting to $53,967. I'm assuming that's pounds. No, I guess it can't be pounds.
Because they're using the euro now, so that's some other currency that is denoted with a P. Company records show the suspects paid using a credit card. Waikoko said Flavel and Beeney did not resist arrest after they were made to open the cast iron boxes containing bogus Federal Bank Reserve certificates. What are you going to do with $3 trillion? And fake. It's incredible. They had $3 trillion worth of fake money. And they tried to pay for the shipment with a credit card. I gotta email those guys. Maybe they would be interested in financing a new regular edition of Mental Illness as a Technology. 420 was this week, I think. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was. And I did not partake. But there were several stories related to cannabis sativa. One is especially disturbing and intriguing simultaneously. I got this from Female First, which is a British webpage combining breaking news with lingerie sales.
And I'm assuming that they got it from somewhere else, but if not, congratulations to them on their intrepid investigative reporting.
An American teenager has been arrested for stealing the head from a corpse to use as a bong to smoke cannabis. The 17-year-old boy has been arrested for breaking into a Vermont crypt and removing the head from a man who had recently been entombed there.
Police were informed of the boy's plans by a friend who was disturbed by his proposal to steal the head and use it as a smoking device. Officers initially thought the story was a hoax,
but disbelief turned
to shock when they discovered a local tomb had been broken into and the head was missing. Police Department spokesman Richard Keith said, "We had the funeral director come to the scene and we pulled the casket out. Yes, indeed, we found remains and they had been disturbed." They later found the head at the boy's home and arrested him. Also from Female First, a German man has created a sex robot he believes is as good as the real thing. Inventor Michael Harriman has produced a range of mechanized sex dolls made out of realistic silicone skin, which contain an internal heater to simulate body heat, and even a heart that beats faster during intercourse. He claims the sex bots, which took him 7 years to develop, are a realistic alternative to a real woman, although he plans to continue to develop the models until he has improved on the real thing. Harriman says, quote, "They are almost impossible to distinguish from the real thing, but I am still developing improvements, and I will only be happy when what I have is better than the real thing." The sex toy has cost 4,000... That's pounds again. For a basic model, or slightly more for those with advanced features, such as a remote control that allows the doll to make suggestive movements from a distance. But also in...
listeners email me, and this is something that I could find out in probably 30 seconds online, but
I'm not near a computer at the moment. Email me at andrew.octopus@gmail.com and tell me what your... Are Britons still using pounds, or have you officially switched over to euros, or what's the deal with that?
For someone who's supposed to know what's going on in the world, it's pretty embarrassing to me that I have to ask that, but...
You know, we don't take calls on mental illness as a technology and vice versa, and there's a reason for that.
It's because there's really no such thing
as the talk radio caller. My sources in the world of etherized
sleep deprivation and alternative
means of research have informed me that most talk radio callers are either A, paid actors paid for by the broadcasting conglomerates or by various information war organizations. And if you don't believe me, just think about this. If they're willing to pay Armstrong Williams $300,000 to promote a Bush proposal, why would they not be willing to pay people $50,000 a year to make calls to various talk radio shows? And they're not even using real people that much anymore. They've started writing programs which create algorithms based off of message boards and recombined in ways that whoever is paying for the service wishes to have them done. So that's why I don't take phone calls. You may hear me make phone calls every once in a while on this show, but I don't take calls from people. If you want to get in touch with me, you should email me at andrew.octopus@gmail.com.
But be careful, because according to a report in The Guardian on Friday, April 22nd, emails pose a threat to IQ. The distractions of constant emails, texts, and phone messages are a greater threat to IQ and concentration than taking cannabis, according to a survey of befuddled volunteers. According to a report in The Guardian on Friday, April 22nd, emails pose a threat to IQ. The distractions of constant emails, texts, and phone messages are a greater threat to IQ and concentration than taking cannabis, according to a survey of befuddled volunteers. I wonder if it's a greater threat to IQ and concentration than smoking cannabis from the head of a corpse. Doziness, lethargy, and an increasing inability
to focus reached startling levels in the trials by 1,100 people who also demonstrated that emails in particular have an addictive, drug-like grip.
Respondents' minds were all over the place as they faced new questions and challenges every time an email dropped into their inbox. Productivity at work was damaged, and the effect on staff who could not resist trying to juggle new messages with existing works was the equivalent
over a day to the loss of a night's sleep. This is a very real and widespread phenomenon, said Glenn Wilson, a psychiatrist from King's College, London University, who carried out 80 clinical trials for TNS research, commissioned by the IT firm Hewlett-Packard.
The average IQ loss was measured at 10 points.
More than double the 4-point mean fall
found in studies of cannabis users. The most damage was done, according to the survey, by the almost complete lack of discipline in handling emails. Dr. Wilson and his colleagues found a compulsion to reply to each new message, leading to constant changes of direction, which
inevitably tired and slowed
down the brain.
Manners are also going by the board, with 1 in 5 of the respondents breaking off from meals or social engagements to
receive
and deal with messages, although 9
out of 10
agreed that answering messages during face-to-face meetings or office course conferences
was rude.
A third, nonetheless, felt
this had become acceptable
and seen
as a sign of diligence
and efficiency. In fact, it is a recipe
for
muddled thinking and poor performance, said Dr. Wilson,
who also called for restraint by the 2/3 of people who check work emails out of office hours and even on vacation.
Blah, blah, blah.
encourage a more balanced and appropriate emails out of office hours and even on vacation. He said companies should encourage a more balanced and appropriate way of working. There was a new pope elected this week, Cardinal Ratzinger
from Germany. He took the papal name Pope
Benedict XVI. Balanced and appropriate way of working. There was a new pope elected this week, Cardinal Ratzinger
from Germany. He took the papal name Pope Benedict
XVI. If you would like to attempt to perhaps slow and muddle his thinking, or perhaps some of the other effects that can be achieved via email, the email address for message in English is benedict16@vatican.va.
Of course, in a rather anachronistic
but highly expected move, the 16th of that email address is in Roman numerals. So it's benedictxvi@vatican.va. That's benedict16@vatican.va. You're listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa, available to you via many sources, including Free Radio Asheville 107.5 FM, the Real Public Radio Radio Network, www.rprn.org, radio4all.net, that's radio, the number 4, ALL.net, and Free Radio Canton, 87.3 FM, although Radio Free Canton doesn't really exist.
Pero.
Changes of direction, which inevitably tired and slowed down the brain. Manners are also going by the board, with 1 in 5 of the respondents breaking off for meals
and messages.
Although 9 out of 10 I wonder if it's a greater threat to IQ and concentration than smoking cannabis from the head of a corpse. And recombined in ways that whoever is paying for the service wishes to have them done, Keith said. We had the funeral director come to the scene and we pulled the casket out. Yes, indeed, we found remains and they had been disturbed. They later found the head at the boy's home and arrested him. Also from Female First. A German man has created a sex robot he believes is as good as the real thing. Inventor Michael Harriman has produced a range of mechanized sex dolls made out of realistic silicone skin, which contain an internal heater to simulate body heat, and even a heart that beats faster during intercourse. He claims the sex bots, which took him 7 years to develop, are a realistic alternative to a real woman, although he plans to continue to develop the models until he has improved on the real thing. Harriman says, quote, "They are almost impossible to distinguish from the real thing, but I am still developing improvements, and I will only be happy when what I have is better than the real thing." The sex toys cost 4,000... That's pounds again. For a basic model, or slightly more for those with advanced features, such as a remote control that allows the doll to make suggestive movements from a distance.
What if the future of hip-hop is toy instruments and lyrics transmitted via fax machine? What if J. Edgar Hoover faked his own death and lives in Arkansas working as a drag queen? I've got a million questions we're not even ready to ask yet. Keep your old analog television set, because we're about to step up on the pirated airwaves. We're already criminals, so why not go visual? We gotta have options besides just digital. Please don't sleep. Check the thrift stores. They're all kinds of electronic equipment real cheap. Keep it here. Mental illness as a technology. Reimagining human bodies as potential insight colonies. Mixtape DJ sacred kit music. We fill tapes with exclusives from underground reporters. Doing business on file sharing networks and handheld recorders. Increase your net worth. No one giving this away, man, you couldn't afford it. And I should tell you how serious the situation is, because I make my living off this information biz, and every day I'm becoming a little bit more capitalist. But if we don't get through this situation, it'll be disastrous. We have to survive the crisis before I raise my prices, because I paint the realest pictures of what's going down. Two cyber thieves and a crucified clown. Adjectives and adverbs, verbs and nouns are my tools of the trade. That's how I get paid. And at 12.5 cents a word, the version just heard earned me about $25. But it's priceless to serious scholars. Very serious questions about what they've experienced tomorrow.
You're listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa. I'm your host, Andrew Octopus.
What if the future of hip-hop is toy instruments and lyrics transmitted via fax machine? What if J. Edgar Hoover faked his own death and lives in Arkansas working as a drag queen? I've got a million questions we're not even ready to ask yet. Keep your old analog television sets, because we're about to step up on the pirated airwaves. We're already criminals, so why not go visual? We gotta have options besides...
besides just digital. Please don't sleep. Check the thrift stores. They got all kinds of electronic equipment real cheap. Keep it here. Mental illness as a technology. Reimagining human bodies as potential insect colonies. Mixtape DJ safe for kit music. They fill tapes with exclusives from underground reporters. Doing business on file sharing networks and handheld recorders. Increase your net worth. No one giving this away, man, you couldn't afford it. And I should tell you how serious the situation is, because I make my living off this information biz, and every day I'm becoming a little bit more capitalist. But if we don't get through this situation, it'll be disastrous.
We have to survive the crisis before I raise my prices, because I paint the realest pictures of what's going down. Two cyber thieves and a crucified clown. Adjectives and adverbs, verbs and nouns are my tools of the trade. That's how I get paid. And at 12.5 cents a word, the verse you just heard earned me about $25. But it's priceless to serious scholars who have serious questions about what they'll experience tomorrow. Future of hip-hop, but if the future of hip-hop is toy instruments and lyrics transmitted via fax machine.
But if J. Edgar Hoover faked his own death and was in Arkansas working as a drag queen, I got a million questions we're not even
ready to ask yet. Keep your old analog television sets, because we're about to step up on a pirated airwaves. We're already criminals, so why not go visual? We gotta have options besides just digital. Please don't sleep. Check the thrift stores. They got all kinds of electronic equipment. Keep it here. Mental illness as a technology. Reimagining human bodies. Mixtape DJ safe for kit music. They fill tapes with exclusives from underground reporters. Doing business on file sharing networks and handheld recorders. Increase your net worth. No one giving this away, man, you couldn't afford it. They fill tapes with exclusives from underground reporters. Doing business on file sharing networks and handheld recorders.
Increase your net worth. No one giving this away, man, you couldn't afford it. And I should tell you how serious the situation is, because I make my living off this information biz, and every day I'm becoming a little bit more capitalist. But if we don't get through this situation, it'll be disastrous. We have to survive the crisis before I
raise my prices, because I paint the realest pictures of what's going down. Two cyber thieves and a crucified clown. Adjectives and adverbs, verbs and nouns.
My tools of the trade.
That's how I get paid. And at 12.5 cents a word,
the verse you just heard earned me about $25.
But it's priceless to serious scholars who have serious questions about what they'll
experience tomorrow.
Listening to Mental Illness as a Technology and Vice Versa. I'm your host, Andrew Octopus. Mental Illness as a Technology is distributed via www.radioforall.net. And this week we are proud to announce the addition of a new internet radio network. Thank you.
Upon It, the Molecular Mixtape. Once Upon a Tomorrow. 4, 3, 2, 4, 3, 2. Once Upon a Tomorrow, hallucinogenic. Clocks are inconsistent because time is schizophrenic. Music business is completely infected by the virulent sequence of experimental physics. CDs are scanned with biometric bandwidth.
MP3s are ingested or injected directly into listeners' veins. Chords crawl through the skin. Beats swim in the brain. Dripping rhythms through the central nervous system. Truth is stranger than science fiction. The game has changed a lot like I predicted, but also in ways I can never explain. DJs in the club do more than mix records. They're freelance detectives blending multiple perspectives. Their lives look a lot like Rick Deckard's. They feed numbers to underground investors, struggling to keep their realities together. Recording is important because informants are different. They lost their jobs and I'll serve the buyer wants to. I keep checking my knobs. Their story's clear. So if sources are distorted, voices had to double check and re-encrypted with tighter security.
I helped eyewitnesses disappear into the cryptosphere.
Paid for designer surgery, lost their double helixes and changed their face. Now none of them look even remotely the same. Had them hide out in places where nobody had, at least not under the Andrew Octopus name. Anticipated, but also in ways that I couldn't have prepared for.
FCC
doesn't exist anymore. Radio left the corpses of computerized automated studios. Now we broadcast much more than audio to reach audience of even the most jaded on media voice. Keys to fake locks on imaginary doors. Analog weapons for digital wars. How come the first casualties were objective truth? How the participants met to discuss a truce. There were college-age girls wearing nothing but high-heel boots, running old 8mm
sonic processors,
projectors, to aim and shoot at Microsoft troops caught unaware in the Unix sector. They wanted no way they could have planned it any better. Blew 1,000 men into 1,000,000 pieces. And I'll start with my thesis. Right now, this is a battle nobody can win. But who knows when the game might change again. Thank you.
Program, Real Public Radio, www.rprn.org. The show so far really hasn't gotten on the consistent distribution schedule that I had originally anticipated. That's partially because we're trying to disrupt the algorithms of intelligence agencies, which are looking for the program every so often. And also because I have simply been so busy with various live shows, journalism assignments, and working on a new recording project, which I'm happy to announce at this moment. It's called the Molecular Mixtape, and it's available on an experimental cassette-only
label based in the United Kingdom called BT Recordings. That's B as in Bush, B as in baseball, T as in teacup or tetragram. BT Recordings, based in London, England, will be releasing a new compilation of material put together by me, and that's what I've been working on a lot lately. Speaking of 100% Radio Junkie, Infinity plans to broadcast to mobile phones by Chris Marlowe. Wasn't he a character from Heart of Darkness? Los Angeles, Hollywood Reporter. Nokia's Visual Radio, which merges traditional FM radio with mobile phone interactivity, is set to go live in the United States under a deal with Infinity Broadcasting, disclosed Monday at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas. The announcement was made with Nokia's technology partner, Hewlett-Packard. The partners are determining whether which of Infinity's 185 radio stations will be the first in the country to offer the service to their listeners. Mobile phones with the capability to receive visual radio will be available in the U.S. within 6 months, according to Reuters. Nokia's manager. A portable radio that happens to make phone calls and show great pictures. Consumers receive the standard visual radio, sends whatever information and graphics the station wishes to the listener's screen, delivered via the cellular network. The result is increased listener time, brand loyalty, and additional streams for the station, Goodman said. So, airwave pirates need to crack open. You know, the mainstream and the underground really need each other. Address is Unit 305 CEO Apartments in Jupiter Street, Makati City. The suspects were not physically present during the press conference called by Wococo.
Involved
in the syndicate. The suspects are Seki Mehmet Bayram and Peter Wittkamp.
Beanie's arrest came from a tip from International Cargo Forwarder, DHL, April 14th, Wococo said. Foreigners, which is pending at the company warehouse. The forwarder the airway bill,
amounting to $53,967.
I'm assuming that's pounds. The cast iron boxes containing bogus Federal Bank Reserve certificates. What are you going to do
with $3 trillion?
I don't...
I'm fake.
It's incredible. They had
$3 trillion worth of fake money.
And they tried to pay for the shipment with a credit card. I gotta email it. A new regular edition of Mental Illness does it. Technology. 420 was this week, I think. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was. And I did not partake. But there were several things I need to investigate on. One is the first day of the journey from the season. I got this from Senior First, which is a personal page from Brian, breaking news and closing reasons. And I'm assuming you guys are somewhere else, but if not, congratulations on the leadership at the Lafayette Point. To smoke cannabis. Something about boy has been arrested for breaking into Vermont. Correct, and everything has been made. Maybe something continued. Please inform the boy's number by finger, third by the bottle, still laying in the smoking place. The room had been broken into, and the head was missing. Police Department spokesman Richard Keith said, "We had the funeral director come to the scene, and we pulled the casket out. Indeed, we found remains. Inventor Michael Harriman has produced a range of mechanized sex dolls made out of realistic silicone skin, which contain an internal heater to simulate body heat, and even a heart that beats faster during intercourse. He claims the sex bots, which took him 7 years to develop, are a realistic alternative to a real woman, although he plans to continue to develop the models until he has improved on the real thing.